I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Bruce Gellerman.
It's Here and Now.
Perhaps the most intriguing thing about the film we're reviewing this week is its structure. Memento, starring Guy Pearce, starts at the end and ends at the beginning, tells the story in reverse of a grief-ridden young man who's been grappling with a rare condition since he sustained a blow to the head after he tried to defend his wife, who was being raped.
I have no short-term memory. Since my injury, I can't make new memories. Everything fades. If we talk for too long, I'll forget how we started. The next time I see you, I'm not going to remember this conversation. I don't even know if I've met you before. I've told you this before, haven't I?
Ooh, sounds pretty freaky. Well, joining me in the studio to talk about the new film Memento are Here Now's unforgettable film reviewers, Cara Melmi and Eric Schaefer. Hey, I know you.
Oh, sorry. I forgot where I was for a minute. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey. And our guest reviewer this week knows a thing or two or three about memories. Anthony Wagner is an assistant professor of cognitive neuroscience in the Department of Brain and Cognitive Sciences at MIT. Thank you for coming in, Professor.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with you. We just heard the main character, Lenny, played by Guy Pearce, and he's describing his condition. In your studies, have you ever come across people who have lost their ability to make new memories?
Yes, in fact, studies of individuals who have actually impaired memories of this particular sort are quite common and have actually been extensively investigated over the last 30 years.
Does it come from a blow to the head?
Typically, a blow to the head is not the standard way or means with which one would get this particular form of memory loss. And in fact, although it's characterized in the film as a loss of short-term memory, that's actually not an appropriate sort of characterization of the type of memory deficit that the lead character, Lenny, is actually suffering from.
Oh,
rather,
really?
The type of memory deficit that the lead character is suffering from is a deficit in the ability to form new long-term memories. And the deficit, as appropriately described in the film, is a deficit of anterograde memory, or the inability to form new memories since the time of the injury or the time of the insult. And in fact, the individuals who have this particular form of memory loss, which is actually a form of amnesia, and it's the most typical form of amnesia, actually rely on their short-term memories, their ability to keep information online and active in memory in order to maintain, at least as long as they can, their current goals and things along those lines.
Eric, the plot of this movie sounds pretty confusing. Lenny, the main character, is bent on avenging the attack on his wife. He's trying to track down the killer. Couldn't be easier for a person with his condition.
No, it's not easy, and in some respects it's not easy for the audience either, because this film is structured in an unusual way. This film starts at the end. It starts with Lenny committing a murder. Since it's actually at the beginning of the film, I'm not giving anything away. But then the film...
it's kind of a whodunit in reverse.
Exactly. The film plays out in reverse. At the same time, you also have Lenny in sort of a flashback stage narrating a story of another character, and that proceeds in straight chronological fashion. So we have time running in reverse in this film. We also have time running in a traditional chronological order, and it's a bit of a challenge to follow this film as it plays out.
I have that confused look on my face.
You do, so do I.
What is perhaps striking, actually, about that structure is what that structure actually provides is that it actually allows the director to take the audience and, in some sense, make them amnesic. Put them in a situation that Lenny, the main character, is actually in, a situation where they're consistently faced with uncertainty as to why they are where they are, what path essentially brought them to where they are, and individuals who have global amnesia are constantly in this state, which was very well and effectively represented in the movie, this state of not knowing why they're in the situation that they're in. And now the viewer in this particular movie is consistently, because of this reverse chronological order, is consistently placed in a situation of not understanding why they are where they are.
That's what was so fun about this movie, is that as viewers, we were players. It was almost as if we were playing the board game Clue, and as soon as we figured out that Colonel Mustard killed them with the candlestick in the library, we totally forgot that, and we had to start over. And that's what it was like watching scene to scene, is that we'd watch a scene, And then a minute later, we'd figure out why we were watching that scene. We essentially follow Lenny, or Leonard, as he prefers to be called, from the time where he is working from a hotel room trying to figure out who has killed his wife. And he meets several people along the way, including a woman, Natalie, played by Carrie Ann Moss, who we remember as one of the Divas people in The Matrix.
Natalie.
You don't remember me.
I'm sorry, I should have explained. I have this...
You did explain, Lenny.
Please call me Leonard. My wife called me Lenny.
Yeah, I know, you told me.
Well, then I probably told you how much I hated it.
Yeah.
And we also meet Joe Pantoliano, who plays Teddy, and they all try and befriend Lenny or Leonard, but we're always not sure. It's very ambiguous whether these people are allies or enemies throughout the entire movie, and that's what holds us in and keeps us watching.
Yeah, this film is really, it's coming out of a real sort of film noir tradition. A lot of people will be aware that, you know, those post-war film noir movies like Somewhere in the Night and Crack Up often played with amnesia. They also often used flashbacks in interesting ways to structure films. And this film is really playing on that tradition as sort of a neo-noir.
It sounds almost Hitchcockian.
You said that so well, Bruce.
Well, in terms of the way in which the film deals with issues of identity, I think it certainly is sort of Hitchcockian, because Hitchcock often dealt with issues of identity and mistaken identity. But in this case, the main character, Lenny, is often questioning the identity of those around him, and as time goes on, or as the movie plays out, we begin to question Lenny's identity as well.
Basically, what he uses is Polaroids. He takes pictures of where he's staying at a hotel. He uses little post-it notes to keep track of who's who and what's what. And he also tattoos his body with the most important facts and, of course, the phone numbers of available women. But the tattoo is very interesting, because here he's putting things permanently on his body that may or may not be true.
Must be tough living your life according to a couple of scraps of paper. You mix your laundry list with your grocery list and you'll end up eating your underwear for breakfast. I guess that's why you have those freaky tattoos.
What, in fact, is fascinating about the tattoos, and actually intriguing about this sense of, or this idea about identity, is that essentially what we get to see through Lenny is how memory is essentially the core of our personal identity. And so our sense of who we are, and, you know, our sense of our personal past narrative, is heavily dependent upon our ability to update our sense of self through laying down new long-term memories of our events as they come through our lifetime. Lenny does a little bit of this through these mementos, these external recordings of his life. But on the whole, he's unable to do that, and so at his core, he eventually is losing a sense of himself.
What about the performances? Lenny is played by Australian Guy Pearce.
Right? Yeah, he was a wonderful drag queen in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and he was also wonderful in L.A. Confidential. And he plays Lenny with this kind of, I don't know, gloomy yet intriguing yet charming goofball kind of way that makes you just kind of stay with him. You see, feel sorry for him, for his condition, but there's also something kind of questionable about him at the same time.
Yeah. There are also a lot of great supporting performances in this film, too. Joe Pantoliano, who plays Teddy, who may be an undercover cop, he may be an informant. We're not entirely clear on what Teddy is. Gives a wonderful sort of smarmy performance. And you can even hear it in his voice, such as when he meets up with Lenny at a hotel.
Lenny!
It's Leonard. Like I told you before.
Did you? I must have forgot.
I guess I've already told you about my condition.
Oh, well, only every time I see you.
And there's also some great kind of comedy in this. It's a bevy of humor if somebody can't remember something. So there's great moments of comedy of errors in this, when Lenny's in the middle of a situation and can't remember he got there. There's a scene in this movie when he's being chased. Or is he doing the chasing? He's not quite sure.
Okay, so what am I doing? Oh, I'm chasing this guy. No, he's chasing me.
So, do you find Memento unforgettable, eminently forgettable?
I think it's wonderful because it's open-air interpretation, the whole film, the ending, the beginning. I'm still questioning what I saw. Would I remember what I saw? Did I remember what I saw?
Did I see what I saw?
Did I pay for it? Yeah,
exactly.
I did that.
Professor?
I found it to be actually quite memorable. And part of the, you know, my attraction to the film is that this is perhaps one of the most effective demonstrations and illustrations of the nature of memory that I can think of out there in popular film. At various points, there are, you know, aspects of memory that perhaps, you know, could have been strengthened or slightly more accurate, but on the whole, the film does a great job of introducing a number of critical points, that there are multiple memory systems, that you can lose the ability to form certain types of new memories, but yet form other types of new memories, that memory is open to distortion. So as a sort of scientist or a student of memory, it was highly memorable.
Eric?
I think it's a really great film, in part because it reminds us that film is in fact not a passive experience. It is an interactive experience, and we're constantly aware as we watch this film of the way in which we make hypotheses as we watch movies, as we sort of try to make hypotheses and see that those completely have fallen apart and we have to build new ones as the film plays out.
Sounds fabulous. Well, thank you all for coming in.
Thanks, Bruce.
The film is Memento. Our guest reviewer this week was Anthony Wagner, assistant professor of cognitive neuroscience in the Department of Brain and Cognitive Sciences at MIT. Karen Melmy is an actress and comedian who works at Cinema Smith in Brookline. And Eric Schaefer is a film historian and professor who teaches at Emerson College in Boston.